This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, it's been a minute or so since last gone to a convention. When was that? Blackpool, I guess. However, I want you guys to appreciate how much I love you, and that's why that I do what I do. As far as I'm right now waiting in the airport. I got back from France last night at about 8 o'clock p.m. Yeah, that was last night. That's redundant. P.M. last night. Sure. Anyhow. I had a chance to wash my clothes and then, because I was there for a month, and then to sleep for a couple of hours, wake up at 3 o'clock and get down here to Hobby Airport, decide to fly out of Houston rather than going back to Austin. Long story. Anyhow, I'm here this morning getting ready to head to Buffalo for the 4F convention to present you with some more daily reports from the conventions. I'm really looking forward to this annual invitation-only close-up event that I attend every year and have for about 35, 36 years, something like that. And I know this is popular among all the listeners because I get my analytics show that you guys like listening to what's going on at this particular convention. I have, as I said, had very little sleep, and I haven't had anything to eat last night, so that's why that I went this morning to get a couple of donuts. Let's just kind of see what I got here. Looks like, yes, of course, my usual chocolate, and something different, because, matter of fact, I was here so early. I was here before Dunkin' Donuts actually opened up. They opened at 4:30. I got there 4:15, had to wait in line. So anyhow, the other one was an apple fritter. They didn't have any cream fills or anything that I would normally have gotten. I think they were still back there sorting or baking or whatever they do to their donuts and injecting more calories. Anyhow, this is going to be a good convention and a lot of catching up to do. It started, I think, last evening. Typically, Wednesday night is whenever they have a lecturer that comes in. We'll talk about that once I get there, who it was and what they talked about, and might get a chance to even chat with that particular lecturer. And then today, once I get there, it's going to get to be a pretty full day. Then, of course, Friday and Saturday are completely chock-block full. So anyhow, I'm heading to Buffalo on my way here and taking you along with me. Hope you will enjoy and listen to each of these episodes that we've got coming your way. So until I get over to Buffalo, this is Scotty out. Oh, hey, I haven't taken my coffee yet. Let me check just a second here to make sure this is good. Yeah. That's good, hot coffee. I'll tell you, Dunkin' makes a good cup. Alrighty, love you guys. This is Scotty out. So we have arrived at the Buffalo. We're at the M Hotel. Actually, take a back, go over to, what is this place, Gino?
Mighty Taco.
Mighty Taco, right across the street. After a month of nothing but French food, I decided to come back and have a taco. It's my first American meal. Wait a minute. It's Mexican, isn't it? So I'm here with, I got so many buddies who are here, but my Houston homies who are here then right now. I've got Gene Protes. Hey, Gino.
Hey, Scotty.
And then Rick Hebert.
Hey, Scotty.
So thank you, by the way, for your congratulatory message about the award. I'm so excited. The pinnacle of my career with getting a fellowship. So
I'm proud to know you. That's a well-deserved.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to all the listeners and everybody who supports the podcast and all of you guys for listening and kind of make that happen. And anyhow, enough about me. What do you think about me? No. So as far as a convention, since I missed last evening and you got here then early than Rick, I know that you missed your flight. Then Gino, you had some flight issues, I know, yesterday. So last evening, I believe we kicked it off with Christian Schenck, who was the one of the three guests of honor. And so with Roger Nico that was kind of hosting it. Was it kind of a roast or what did I do?
No, actually, Roger gave a great speech. Not only did he talk about his relationship with Christian, but some of the things that Christian created and the process that that Christian used to arrive with the Phoenix cards and Card Shark. And Christian said something, I didn't know this. Christian's not a performer. He is strictly a creator and a consultant. So I found it, first of all, it was touching and very informative. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. And Christian did a little lecture. He invited Boris Wilde come up because they collaborated on something. So Christian told the story, and Boris did a card trick, and Christian did some card tricks. It was a great lecture, great tribute, just a great. It was an awesome presentation, I guess.
Good way of opening that up. And then last evening we had the first evening gala show. Who was on? You may not have to name everybody, but who are some of the highlights you remember?
Yeah, so Keith Fields emceed it, and of course Keith does an awesome job. So and he did a trick where between each act, he had a piece of a longer trick that Keith did. So Keith is just phenomenal. For me, the highlight, of course, is seeing Oscar Munoz back at 4F. He hadn't been back at 4F in a while.
Since he was a guest of honor.
Since he was a guest of honor, yep. So it's great to see Oscar back. And, you know, the first night is they've got it's – I don't want to say it's not a good show. But the first night is always the least of the 4F shows, but – even the least of the 4F shows is always very good. So there are definitely
sometimes better than the best of some of the other conventions.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. And I was definitely fooled several times during the first show. So it was a very good first show, a great introduction to the week of 4F.
Did they have some guys from out of the country also, or were they all Americans last evening?
There were definitely at least one Korean. I think there was two Canadians. Maybe, yeah, so I can't remember. There's so many people. At the 4F, we're less than half Americans.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
If I run into Mark D'Souza, which I'm sure, did you see Mark? I guess he's here.
Yeah, he's here.
Okay. I'm sure he's got that all written down. We might have a rundown later with that, but I just kind of want to get your general impression on that. And then this morning, I started off with another mini lecture, or what was this morning?
It was a one-hour lecture by Bernardo Sedlacek. Yeah. Bernardo was on the evening gala last year. So extremely talented magician out of Brazil. This is all about thought and theory. No card tricks were taught, but an hour of thought and theory from Bernardo's perspective.
And then it's time for lunch, or what happened then?
Yeah, now it's time for lunch.
That's what we're enjoying then right now. Gino?
Yes, then Mighty Taco. Mighty Taco has quite a history here in Buffalo.
So let's have a little food review.
But yeah. It started out as a tiny little storefront over on Fillmore Avenue, and they almost went out of business. Except there's a very large late night contingency of people that order food in Buffalo. So it turned out that they kind of captured that late night audience. As a matter of fact, we used to have a group of 25 of us that would take long bike rides in the middle of the night, and Mighty Taco was open very late. So it was our go-to place. It's really kind of a special place to me because of that history. But now, basically, they've opened several larger facilities that don't have that, that really kind of homemade feel of kind of an organic storefront made by just a bunch of old hippies. Now they're more like a Chick-fil-A type style.
Taco Bell.
Or Taco Bell.
Buffalo version of Taco Bell.
Exactly.
Buffalo, New York's version of that.
But the food's great. It's really special. And I'm really thrilled to be back at the 4F. And I really think that the change to the Hotel M from the Batavia and the Clarion has been really beneficial.
It's a great hotel, and that was what I was going to mention. The reason we were talking about the taco place, because we have access to so many different restaurants around here. There's a steak place next door, and whatever you want, all around. And then there is then a big shopping center over there with a big food court with an additional mall. With additional stuff.
So lots of options.
Yeah.
And we were rushed for time on this one, so we went to Mighty Taco. So it's good to have that as an option.
That's where we have to go to a liquor store because we have to get ready for the 4S convention tonight, which is the Secret Society of Scotch Sippers. So we need to get a bottle of scotch before we go back to the 1:30. And 1:30, what's happening there?
It's 20 minutes.
Today something's happening at 1:30, do you recall?
Yep, 1:30, so we got 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, what's happening at 1:30? Remember what?
It's the show hosted by Gary Morton.
Oh, that's right. It is a full show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go. Thanks a lot. And we're going to head back to the hotel after we go to the liquor store. Gino?
Scotty out.
Scotty out. Scotty out.
So we are now in the main showroom. The my first gala is starting. The second one, I guess, of the thing. And I'm over here, first of all, Gene Gordon. Hey, Gene.
Hey, Scott. Nice to see you.
And Alec Kronzig.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Scott.
and O'Hare is past president of the national, past international president of the IBM, Chuck Arkin.
Hey, Scott, how are you today?
Fantastic. So you guys enjoying it so far yesterday? What all, I mean, something great yesterday?
Yes, it was a good show and a good lecture yesterday and this morning.
I second that.
You second that?
Yeah.
Do you remember who you saw last night that kind of comes quickly to mind?
I remember who I saw.
I know I heard that Keith Fields was emceeing the show.
He did a great job.
And it was nice to see Oscar back. It was very nice. Yeah.
Just guess about
Oscar Munoz.
Yep. Yeah. How about you then, Chuck? You remember who was?
I'm taking copious notes on every performer.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, then you'd be the guy I should be talking to over there.
Yeah.
So what did you think last night? Kind of stood out.
Strong.
What happened?
A nice mix of comedy and some self-working effects, music, great patter, very inspirational. High energy,
can
too.
Can you go over a few people who were there before we get started here?
Christian Grace, I really loved his card routine from the UK. Chris Pillsworth,
Canada.
Good. Oh yeah, great.
Chris was good.
And the finale, Jeff Christensen, where he did a tribute to Roger from Card Shark, who was having anniversary. He had the wife and the husband up there as volunteers, and he did a wonderful routine, just pulling them in memory of their time together. It was great.
Yeah,
which ended with a sing along.
Was a happy anniversary?
Yeah. Yes.
No, he had an original. An original tune with
really?
Follow the Bouncing Ball.
On the screen up there?
On the screen, yeah.
And he had us all singing, so that was fun.
People selected cards, and the cards they selected when turned over spelled out the first line to the song. Like, I see you,
like a license plate, you know. So it was letters and numbers that made up words when you said them in combination. Yeah. And the whole song related to that.
Right.
For Roger and his blushing bride who were up front.
Eva May.
Yeah.
Celebrating their 15th anniversary here.
Yeah, here because they got engaged here and married here.
Yeah, and a picture of them with Jimmy C as the officiant for the wedding.
Was,
yes.
And this year we are celebrating Jimmy as one of our guests of honor.
Exactly. Brought back some good memories.
Now that today, I missed this, but I know Bernardo Sedlicek is one of my favorite lecturers, one of the great thinkers and performers today, and I heard he did a good lecture.
It was excellent. It was a theory lecture, which is always interesting in front of a bunch of guys who like moves, but it was a very excellent, and Bernardo is one of my favorites too.
Yeah.
Second, you know, it's all about making the magical moment.
Making the moment?
Yeah, making it special, making it different.
Was that that was the first thing it kicked off? Was there something else after that, or we all go to lunch?
Yeah, then we had was there a first show or no? It was just the lecture, and now's the first show.
Yeah, it was a lecture and
the lecture, and then
longer than usual break
for lunch
for 4F.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought because that's why I went across the street and had lunch over there. Just as I got in, I thought I was going to make it in time. Then I realized, there was a time change.
Yes, they started a half an hour earlier, so instead of 11, which had been tradition, they started at 10:30. Which gave us a longer mid spot here.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks, guys, very much. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Thanks
for having
me. Okay. Thank you very much.
Right.
That was Chuck Arkin and Gene Gordon and Alan Fronczyk. Scotty Allen. I mentioned a couple times that one of the people who is one of the three guests of honor here this year is Jimmy C, who has also been the main AV guy for years and years and years, has moved from one place to another, and has been coming for about as longer than I have, and I've been coming for 36 years. So, but he comes to us all the way from Florida, and I spoke with him briefly when we were in Blackpool, which he gave a great lecture there, and I just got in late yesterday, so I didn't hear your lecture, but I'm sure it was amazing again yesterday. Here he is, Jimmy C. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, it's me, Jimmy. Thank you very much. It's so great to just tell everybody how wonderful my life is in the world of magic, and what all of these people have done for me and have lifted me up, because when I started, once again, I was 42 years old.
And you got started at 42?
Yeah, 42 years old. And I had to catch up with everybody. So all these 14-year-olds that started, David Copperfield and Chris Angel, I said, I'm 42, I got to catch up.
Yeah.
And so I worked so hard, and everyone at 4F always gave me that wind. I use it again, wind beneath my wings, and they inspired me. They told me if it was good or bad. They were honest with me. And now I'm doing almost 22 gigs a month, which is a lot.
Holy. Yeah. You're not working like a restaurant someplace, are you?
No.
You're doing private, all separate thing.
Yeah, because in Florida, I found that being from Rochester, New York, it's a weekend town. Rochester is a weekend town. You can work 5, 6, 7 nights a week. And at, you know, there's homes, they go into $18 million homes.
These are mostly New Yorkers who have been displaced, or I say displaced. They've actually retired to Florida.
Without a doubt. I mean, this one house was $18 million and it had 2 Austin Martins in the driveway. Yeah. And I just laugh at it. And the size of the ship on one of them was bigger than the house. But it's not about, it's about the children's smiles. And I walk out of there. And again, I don't like to say this, but I've created in 4 years that I've been there, 300 plus 5-star Google reviews.
Wow.
And it's all because of working hard at it. I'm not going to let that child down. And how about my retirement communities? I mean, I'm there, you know, over 55, mm-hmm. assisted living. I'm even doing memory care where they don't know. Maybe I was a professional singer for 25 years of my life. Mm-hmm. So going in and doing a cabaret show and singing songs that we can sing along, and how those people look at me and go, they don't do this.
Yeah, you got a special gimmick.
You have to say, look, My Girl, Sweet Caroline, everybody, just, you know, sure. Motown songs. So this has been a journey I've been on. And it's just, money comes because you do good stuff, right? Just to give you an instant, though, we donated our time to a food kitchen, okay, here in Florida. 1,200 hot meals a day to the needy.
Wow.
And we went in there and we do magic for the kids as their parents are waiting. Mm-hmm. Joe DiMaggio Hospital, I went up there a couple of times and you see these children with tubes and they're, and I get them to smile. We get that smile. Let me tell you, if you're listening out there in the world of magic, you have the power to do the same. I don't care if you're a hobbyist, bring that thumb tip with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you're going to get that smile, or that little lady that could hardly talk or move her neck. And she said, you made my day. Dear God, you have no idea. I get a chill.
Sure.
Because
he's telling me that story.
Giving it. You give and you don't think about receiving. But when you look at that person and they smile back, there's nothing I can say that replaces that. I got to tell you the story, because when I did my lecture, my kids' lecture, people came up to me, oh, great job. We love what you did. We love the trick, da, da, da. But Daryl from London, the Magic Circle, he just came to me and said, this guy emailed me, so-and-so. He hasn't been magic in years. He said he went to your lecture in Blackpool. He said he's starting again because of you, Jimmy. It said in the email, because of you, it encourages him to get back.
Wow.
Wow. I have been so blessed. So blessed in my life. So,
well, that's why it's one of the two questions I was going to ask you also about people who are getting involved later in life. They had different interests, whether it's been their family, their jobs, or whatever. And then at some point, they become empty nesters or they want to look for something else. And it's never too late. So, what do you say to encourage people to get into magic at a later age?
I tell them all day long, guess what? Give me a call, send me an email, because I'm
you'll answer it. I know. You're such a great guy. Yeah.
I want to encourage you to come and see me. I'll teach you. We'll get a Zoom going, because it takes only one simple trick. And the one that I'm having fun with, I'll do this for you and then you can tell what you see, is the one where I have a cup of coffee and I go in 7-Eleven. I said, the coffee's good. The donuts are stale.
Pull a donut out of your mouth. Sponge donut. Yeah.
Why not? Why not? You know?
So you carry that with you all the time?
All the time. Yeah.
That's a quickie.
I usually have two.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, because I after I do it, I go, oh, I think there's a dozen of them somewhere. You know? I can't even tell you how many times I go into a 7-Eleven or whatever it is. I don't care where it is, and do something simple. I'm a hero. I got my hair cut. They gave me a 5-star review. Magic, because I entertained for 5 minutes. So life is good. Magic is good. Magic.
That's what's going to get to me to my next question about the 5-star reviews. But before I get there, I wanted to also to reiterate the story that you just said as far as doing that frequently, because you don't know how it's going to impact people's lives. A friend of mine, Dick Olson, back in Houston, has a holy moly, you know, Jay Sankey's trick. He's got a great presentation, great routine. He does it five times a day. And we just returned from France, and he did it over there. And he had to revise his patter because he said, you know, my wife and I went to Sears. You know, people are looking at him like, first of all, Sears is gone. Number two, they didn't have that in France. So he had to change all that. But my point is, he's always looking for new audiences, and he gets better and better and better and better and better. And he's been doing this for years. He was doing three a day, and now he's then four. Now he's doing five a day, but he always just, it's because he just loves that particular trick. And then if he does go back, let's say to the registration desk, and the lady's already seen it, and there are a couple other guys there, so let me show you a card trick. He's got something else he shows. But like, you're carrying the sponge donut. It's amazing how that you can impress people with that. So my other question has to do then with the 5-star reviews. How do people, what recommendation would you have to tell people how that they also can get?
To me, it's very simplistic. Do a good job at the gig. Write the lady, the guy, whoever hired you, say, hey, Kathy, how did you, the people like the show? The kids like the show? Yes, we loved it. Thank you. Right after I get that, I send it out my link, my direct link, and they click on it, leave a review. I always felt that why wouldn't you ask if you know you did a good job, sure. You feel good. The kids laughed, they had a good time. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's something that people don't think about. They love the show. Everybody had a good time. Well, let me know that. And I let them know. So
let me ask also, do you have, and then I'll wrap this up, but do you have a character when you perform? I mean, like, let's say Silly Billy does, you know?
No. What I tried to do is I have to look like a kid performer. That was my thought. And because I have totally white hair, I felt that I had to look a little different, where I had a band and fake hair, okay, and a tuxedo shirt with a bow tie. But I needed that. Now, if you told me they were 7, 8, 9-year-olds, or maybe 9, 10, 11, I would just wear this with a coat and be me, you know? The magic changes. Some people can't do that. They can't do a 2-year-old, 3-year-old. Some of them can't do an 8, 9-year-old because the mentality changes. I have to use adult magic on these older kids.
Sure.
Kid magic, just be silly.
Exactly.
Just be silly. And so that's why
I've been, to know your audience.
Yeah. And so I booked the heck out of it. Mm-hmm. And also, if I didn't repeat myself, is upstate New York, you could book weekends. Anyone could book a weekend. Mm-hmm. But in Florida, there's parties on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I'll get back to senior centers. Yeah. I do it as cheap as I can because I know they don't have budgets.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
Mm-hmm. You're performing and you're getting flight time.
They need to be entertained.
Yeah.
They sit there sometimes all day and no one talks to them. Hmm. So if you can get that smile out of that, I'm the winner.
Well, congratulations on being the guest of honor. And I can see why, because of your genuine passion and love for magic and what you've done for so many years and making everybody smile. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you for having me.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jimmy C. Scotty out. One of the recent podcast episodes that I had was with Rolando Santos, and I've gotten perhaps more positive feedback on that particular episode than any I have done than my memory.
It's funny you would say that. The last day since I got here, everyone's been asking me questions about that.
Is that right?
That's true.
It was so amazing, and I recommend if you people have not yet heard that, go back and hear the one with Rolando Santos. Here he is, my guest today. Hey, Rolando, how are you?
I'm doing just great. Thank you.
So you came straight from Atlanta for this?
Actually, from San Antonio. Yeah.
What am I saying? Of course, San Antonio. So you have just I was just horrible. Was I just talking to Gabe Blackstone, who we were having dinner recently, and I was telling her about this and saying about the difference between emoting versus provoking.
Right.
And it's just a different way of looking at things. Just for people who haven't heard this, just give them a quick taste as to what exactly that means.
Okay, there are two ways of going about presenting a story, whether it's a newscaster or whether it's in magic. And that is, you either provoke a reaction or you evoke a reaction. When you provoke a reaction, that's a fleeting something, right? It's a flourish.
Knee-jerk
it's
reaction.
A coin trick. It's a knee-jerk reaction. It's something that'll last in memory, but that'd be very quick. But if you evoke a reaction, you're really evoking and creating a memory. Mm-hmm. And that is a long-lasting, potentially lifetime remembering event.
Yes.
So when you provoke something, that's kind of aggressive and it's short-lived. But if you evoke something, you're actually creating a memory.
Yeah. And that's basically, there were so much that and so many things else that you talked about. I recommend you go back and doing that. Have you been giving that lecture anyplace else of late?
Yeah. Or as a matter of fact, I did a version of that at the East Coast Spirit Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did another version for the Aaron Fisher's Conjurer community.
It was an online
and
thing.
It was, yes. Yeah. And they were absolutely fascinated. Both of them are. And so I'm looking forward. I've got another bizarre convention coming up in September that I'm about to sign a contract on. And so
is that the
one in Dallas? Yeah.
Not the Nostradamus. What is that called?
Magastrum.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And that is just before the TAOM convention in Magic, Texas. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always in Dallas. This is like the third year, I think, of this convention coming up over there. So have you been traveling a little bit then of, late or?
Yeah. Actually, I've got this, 4F today, of course. And then next week I'm going to the summit. It's Conjurer Community Convention. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to segue into using the concepts that we talked about in your mm-hmm. podcast, but how you apply it to like pendulum work.
Oh, from pendulum, sure.
Because basically, the pendulum work is all ad lib because you don't have any idea what kind of reaction you're going to get.
That's right.
What the person. So, if you have a good grounding in this provoking versus evoking kind of a background, the pendulum work becomes even more beautiful because you're no longer tied to any kind of a script and you're perfectly comfortable mm-hmm. ad libbing your way to wherever the audience member takes you.
That's right. That's right. And it is more improvisational, I guess. And if you kind of know what you can say, and so regardless of which way the pendulum is going to go, you can kind of make it fit whatever your story is going to be.
Yeah, that's correct.
I understand. Have you been enjoying this convention so far?
It's been terrific. Yeah. I mean, the acts have all been great.
Anything stands out?
Yeah, John Bannon, you know.
Lectures right now, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's all right. No, but John's stuff is always very, very good, right?
Yeah.
And I think the gala shows, in this particular case, we've got people who are their first-timers up here. The mm-hmm. magic has been terrific. Tiffany Allen did a terrific New Georgia Wonder. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is her first time here, so she got her bachelor's, and she performed flawlessly. It was just beautiful.
When I was in France, I was just talking with Boris, and he said that the two of them had done her first full French show, that everything she said was in French. So they rehearsed and everything, but he was working with her and he was performing then as well. So if she needs some help, but he said she didn't need it. She just did a great job. So it was just great for her, you know.
Yeah,
she's
no,
really folding in well.
She knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, but it was a great, I'd not seen the whole act. I think she did some of that at Trix convention a couple of years
ago. She's done that and she's done bits and pieces of it at either at East Coast Spirit Sessions.
Hmm.
But this is the first time she's kind of put it all together and given us a full dimension of what she can do. She's really good.
She really is. And she talks about the history and everything of that. Speaking of history, are you going to be going to the Collectors Expo?
No, I am going to do what you just did. I'm going to Europe.
You're heading
to Europe. Yeah, I'm going to Europe. My wife and I are going to take a trip during that weekend and spend about 10 days. Paris and ending up in Monte Carlo and stuff mm-hmm. like that. One of those Viking cruises that are terrific.
Oh, sure.
You just kind of get up and out.
There.
Absolutely.
Yep. You'll have a marvelous time.
Yep.
We did that a couple of years ago for my 70th birthday. It was so much fun over there. Well, Rolando, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Always good seeing you. And I'm glad that you're here and always good to see, but also because that you had talked on the podcast about this episode. There are so many people. Again, I want to recommend go back and listen to that. I highly recommend it. And you will learn so much. We know enough tricks, but we just need to know how to present it better. And you had the basics of once you have that, then you can build on that. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's the Magic Word Podcast. That was Rolando Santos. One of the people who was just on the bill earlier today and gave a great presentation, and he is someone also who always has great parties here at the 4F convention because he makes his own homemade limoncello, brings different kinds of cheese. You got Parmesan cheese with you, is that?
Yes, of course, and you are invited in my room tomorrow night. We start last night.
I'm a day late and a dollar short, sounds like, but you got some more left over. And he's somebody who's going to be on a lecture tour that I put together. And we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. It's Elaine Iannone from Italy. Hey, Elaine.
Oh, hi, Scott. I'm so happy to be here once more time.
Yes, you're going to be here for a little while then right now. Now, you have been coming to the 4F. What year is this? How many years have you been coming to this?
10 times. Yes, this is my 10th time here. Mm-hmm.
And you have been the MC of the show sometime.
One time, yes, when we did the Italian Gala.
That was at the Italian Gala.
Yes, that was the Italian Gala, and I've been the MC of this, and also planning everything with the Italian friends and find them, yes.
Right. When you are working on new material, what is it that inspires you to, I mean, when you're, you know, for a new card trick or something that's completely different? I mean, you're watching TV, you're reading a book, or what is it that they're...
Many things. I always read a lot of books because, and I'm old style magicians, maybe because my age is probably.
Yeah, and you like books.
Yes, you too. I know. And I think I always try to find something that was stronger from the emotional point of view. Mm-hmm. For me, it's important that the audiences remember me and not my trick. And of course, they have to be amazed or enchanted by the entire effect. And performing all the time since, oh my God. Actually, these months are 30 years of full-time professional.
30 years. Wow.
Yes. Okay. I started to be a full-time professional magician in 1994, April.
Yeah.
And since that date, I started performing always in restaurant venues, private parties, corporate events, before in Italy where I live there, and France, because I'm all French, and slowly growing up, and more, of course, in Europe.
So where are you living then right now?
Rome.
In Rome.
Yes, in Rome, in Rome.
And so, again, we were talking about the lecture tour that I've got you on a tour, but you're going to be going from here to the Magic Castle to work for a week.
I will be, yes, next week after the convention here. I will be all the week at the Magic Castle performing at the close-up room, of course. Mm-hmm. And after that, I will start this wonderful lecture tour with you.
Which I want to remind everybody, if you have not contacted me and you're interested in having Elaine to come and lecture for your group, please let me know. You can send an email to me at lectures, that's plural, lectures, at ScottWells.com. That's the easy way to get hold of me. And he's got a few dates in early June in particular. We're trying to get
early June, more free dates, and after until 18th, more or less. But you know, we will check
it. Yeah, I'll check it. Just give me a call on that. But talk about some of the things that are in your lecture. Talk about some of the things that are in your life.
I will talk about how to increase your emotional aspect of the effect, how to do something, how to perform in real situations, because I always perform a real situation.
We call commercial, basically.
Yes, more commercial. And I think it's more important things as where you have to put yourself around the table, how to arrive at the table, what kind of words to say.
Yep. How you approach the table, basically.
Yes, the approach at the table, because I've seen a lot of very good magicians performing and say, arrive at the table, would you see a little bit of magic? And said, oh, no, thanks, we don't care.
It's true.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And it's terrible for myself, of course. It is terrible for the others.
Right.
And it's very important how to approach the table, how to leave the table, find the right effect to create a very good souvenir, maybe.
Right, a good souvenir, but and also a good memory, but then not always to approach a table, because some people might be thinking, well, I don't want to hear necessarily a restaurant magician. This is also the same thing for cocktail parties or when you're strolling and you're working with a group like that.
There are different approach, of course, because something is with people sitting at a table, something is with people that is standing.
Right.
Sometimes they expect for you, sometimes they don't.
And it's not all cards or anything. You got a lot of variety. And you were the cover of Lincoln Ring magazine a few years ago and had the One Man Parade, which you won an award for, I believe, right?
Yes, it was true. It's true. It was a surprise for me because sometimes they ask me just if I have some material, few effects, and they increase in asking me things. At the end, I say, probably you know more about me than my mothers, because they ask me a lot of things.
Yeah.
And at the end, the editor at that moment, he sent me an email calling it surprise. You will be the cover boy of the next month. So yes, on the magazine, and you will have a one man parade inside. And after, I receive a kind of wooden price is something strange at home, talking about the IBM, Lincoln Green, that I put this one on the table and say, oh, another one. And after, no, a good friend of me, a French magician, he told me, you has been the best lecture, the best one-man parade of the year. I don't think so. He said, oh, I told you. So I would, have you received the wooden prize? Said, yes, it was for this reason. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And now it's then on the wall.
You moved it. You found it. Oh, I guess that's important. Yeah.
Yes. Cleaning.
So the point is with that, what year was that? What month? Do you remember when that was? What year or what month that was?
I think it was March, maybe 2016.
Okay. So I suggest people to go back in the archives.
Have to check.
If you're a member of the IBM, you can go back and find that and kind of look at some of the things. This way you get an idea of some of the things that he's has taught back then and the type of thinking that Alain has then as well, because he has a lot of creative ideas. And a lot of times people will say, well, I know different people from different countries. It's kind of hard to understand what they're saying, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you also to understand, to let people know what great English that you have.
Yes, so. Of course. But everything is written in English, and my English maybe is not so good, but I will try to be understandable for everybody.
I think you are better than my Italian, of course. So the 4F is just great, and we've been having a lot of fun, and you've again brought your homemade limoncello and everything for the Italian party.
As every year, every night, there will be the Italian party in my room. And you will be invited, as I told you, because I know that you like the cheeses and the limoncello too.
I do. When I was in France a couple of days ago, we had gone into a Parisian patisserie and had a limoncello cream pastry, which as soon as I saw that, I said, that's an Iannone pastry. I got to get that. It was delicious. I mean, they had chocolate and other kinds of things, but I wanted that one, and it was every bit as good as what I thought it was going to be.
Join me tonight, and we will test the original one. Don't worry.
I love you, man. I will be there. Alain, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, too.
And so, again, you can contact me. It sounds like a commercial, but it'll be a great lecture. And if you have not booked him yet, then contact me. Talk to you later. Thanks a lot, Alain.
Thanks.
And so, for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty. People who is a past guest of honor is Henry Evans, and he was also just recently on a lector tour. I was just talking about Alain Iannone being coming up on a lecture tour. Well, you just finished one as well. So I've got with me then right now Henry Evans. Hey there, Henry. How are you?
Hello. Hello, Scott.
Hola. ¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien. Muy buen español. Very good Spanish. I am so happy with all the tour. Yeah. People were so kind. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For helping me in all this. We are happy, very, very, very happy with all the tour. Mm-hmm. Last lecture was yesterday. Now we are in 4F. Everything was fantastic, fantastic.
I've heard, I've gotten a lot of emails back from people along the way saying, oh, it was fantastic. I loved everything. Did you have enough of stuff? Because I thought you'd run out of things to sell here at 4F after the lecture, the tour was over.
It was very good, very good. I am very happy. And also, I was with Danielle, my friend, and was very nice time with all of them. Mm-hmm. I was performing new ideas. I had from the last few years, so I am very happy to with the reaction of the audience, you know.
Sure.
So here is Daniel also.
Now, what year was that you were the guest of honor, by the way, here at the 4F? Do you remember what year was?
Yes, of course. In 2009.
2009.
Was when I was the guest of honor. Yeah.
Right.
For me, it was a great time, you see. And
well, Obi loved you also. You loved Obi, I know.
Of course. He say I was his adopted son. So
yes.
these are the words always when he introduced to me on the stage, say that. And for me, it was a very, very important person, like my father also.
Sure.
Because from the very beginning, when I got the prize in the year 2000 at Fissen, he was helping me a lot in everything.
Yes.
So he was a great support in all my career. So I will remember him always, of course.
Yeah, he's done so much. Another guy that did a lot of things for you was Mike Miller, taking you on the Chinese tour.
Oh, Mike Miller. Oh, my God. He's a good friend. We have been... well, we did a lot of tour in China performing with him. It was fantastic.
He told me that you were just the highlight. Everybody was saying, we love Henry Evans. He's great.
Yes, we had a great time. It was fantastic. Every different cities, a lot of people from China in big theaters.
Did you do that 2 years or just 1 year?
I did two times.
Two times.
Yes, yes, yes. So for me, it was fantastic. Fantastic experience. So you see, it's incredible. And Mac Miller is a great person. It's a good friend.
Yeah.
So it's very, very nice to work with him, of course.
I'm so glad that he's going to be getting a special fellowship from the Academy of Magical Arts because of what he has done. Not only that, but also booking talent for the different conventions he's done and everything. So he's getting a recognition that he really deserves.
Oh, yeah, yes. You know, of course.
I want to ask you about working close up on a big venue like that, because you had tens of thousands of people seeing you. Did they have, I guess, a big screen TV and they understood English? Yeah. They had an interpreter or what?
Well, yeah. We have in that moment, we need interpreter in every show. So imagine people is in the case in China, for example, when we are performing in China, is audience from China. So they don't speak English. Depend where you are. Sometimes people speak English. You know, if you are in Europe, well, in Germany, everybody speak English. In Denmark, everybody speak English, but
not in China.
Not in China. In China, the problem is most of the people speak only Chinese, so they need interpreter in every show. That's why when we are there, I had a great challenge for me.
Yes,
because they say try to make a music act.
Yes,
and I make three music acts for China, especially for China, and then of course I was performing, but not with a lot of lines to talk. You know, I talk, but just a few sentences, so you don't need to translate a lot.
Right.
The translator just translate a few things. Then is with music, is very nice the style, and I create three different acts, and I am very happy with them because it was a very nice challenge for me. At the same time,
was it a silent
now
act?
Now I am using this act in my full show, and I am happy because you create a different atmosphere. You know, in my style, sometimes I start with energy because I love to enjoy. I understand if I enjoy, people enjoy. But when I am connecting with the audience, sometimes after to do this tension, you need a little relax. Uh-huh. Well,
good point.
With these music acts, you create a different atmosphere where you can, you know, about
about valleys and, I mean, not
balance
valley,
all the shows.
And after balance that, as well, yeah.
I love in the middle to put this kind of music on. And then, of course, I continue with my style, funny things. And I like that. I like the combination.
Tell me about your experience with Penn & Teller.
Oh, that was great. Oh, my God. That was amazing. You know, it's a incredible program. Very good. They are great stars. Penn and Teller are magicians who I really wanted to know in person for a long time. I saw their shows many times in Vegas when I was young also. So they were a great inspiration for all magicians around the world.
But you came from Argentina to Las Vegas to see
that? Yes, wow. I did that in the past. Of course, yes. When I just traveled to Vegas to see shows, and of course, Penn and Teller was one of the top in my line, in my list.
Yeah.
So they were always great magicians. And now for me was a very good challenge. It doesn't matter if you fool them or not. I was lucky to fool them.
Yes.
But I think it doesn't matter. The important thing is to have the chance and the opportunity to show your magic to these two great stars in magic. And this is the very nice trophy, I think.
Yeah. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
I always like to talk to people who have fooled Penn and Teller, because could you tell in their eyes, I mean, by looking, it's like, I think I got them. Was there a moment in which you thought, I did fool them?
Ah, well, you know, you never know, because they are very, 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 very good magicians.
Yeah.
So I really,
you thought they
I really
know.
Didn't know to the last moment.
Last moment, okay.
Yeah, yes.
Funny.
That's why, well, I try to do the best always, But then the answer is from then. So I really didn't know what's happened.
That's great. Well, you've had a great life and things are continuing to go up. You're such a, you're still a young man and got a lot of ahead of you. Well, I'm glad the tour went well. And for those people who might be thinking, how come they didn't come through my area? Well, again, you kind of started down in Boca Raton, Florida and kind of went up the East Coast. Next year, perhaps we might start like out in Texas or someplace and move east in order to finish up. So we might be looking at the 1st of April for next year, maybe doing something.
Oh, yes. I really would love to do it again because I know there are many cities I couldn't go.
Oh, sure. A lot of places would like to have you then, too.
So if you help me, I will do it.
You know, I will. Of course.
Because for me, for me, it will be a pleasure to do it. So next year, we can
Daniel
do it.
With you then again. So you got a good driver.
Yes.
Yeah, so plus he was adding
Daniel,
to the
Daniel, you can ask to them. Daniel is a great driver. He's a great magician. He's also a Vincent winner. He was performing in a very, very strong way. Yesterday, I remember the reaction of the audience when Daniel was performing.
I wasn't here last night. Just got into today.
And these days was fantastic. The people say, whoa, no, oh, every time. It was fantastic reaction.
Yeah.
Because he created a nice atmosphere with music and very visual scene, good technician. So it was a great combination in this case. So I am happy.
Good. I'm happy for both of you. I'm glad it all worked out. I'm glad that you're here. It's always good to see you. And I hope you guys enjoy the convention the rest of this then too.
Of course, Scott. And thank you very much for all your support,
Friend.
I hope to do it again with you because it's a pleasure always.
You bet. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Henry Evans, Scotty out. We're talking with Henry Evans and talking about the last evening show and with the person who was the MC of last evening show, Keith Fields.
Who could that have been? Who was that wild and crazy dude that was out there?
The guy from England. He's from Michigan. No, wait a minute. Where's he from?
Yes.
From all over the world.
Yes, I have three nationalities.
Do you?
Yeah, American, British, and Antiguan.
Antiguan.
Yeah, I was born in Antigua.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay, so you maintain...
That's where my mother was. I had no choice.
So you maintain, actually, citizenship in all three?
You don't have to maintain citizenship. It's a birthright.
Ah, that's interesting.
So because you were born in America, you have American citizenship.
Yeah.
And because I was born in Antigua, I happen to have Antiguan citizenship.
Okay.
It's not that important.
I'm going to show my stupidity. Where is that? I've heard of Antigua,
but where
is it?
It's in the Caribbean.
Okay.
It's one of the West Indies.
It's one of the West Indies.
Yeah.
Okay. Do cruise ships go in and out?
Oh,
there
all the time.
It's a very popular place.
Yeah. In fact, the first time I actually left there when I was two, and the first time I returned was on a cruise ship when I was about 45, something like that, and didn't go back in between. But now I like to go back as often as I can.
I bet you do. And Sarah go with you then too as well?
Oh, yeah, family trips and things like that.
You take like a cruise or you just go down there?
No, we just go and hire a house and stay there.
So you don't have any family there still anymore or anything?
No.
I see.
Ancient history, folks, but we're here to talk about 4F.
Let's talk about 4F. That's why we're here then right now. That's what I was going to say is because people told me that you did a stellar job last night. You had like a running gag, a running theme.
I did. Some folks might have seen my famous Bill in Walnut routine, I can explain it like this. I wanted to create a Rube Goldberg machine of a magic trick. Mm-hmm. Which had many moving parts.
Right.
And it starts with someone with a bill at one end of the line of five people, and that bill goes through those five people. It gets destroyed in the middle, and it ends up being found in a walnut at the very end.
I like that
very
concept.
Very, very funny routine. The routine started in 4F, which is why I wanted to do it here last night. And it started in 4F as... I was desperate to find a fun routine that I could do at 4F, and this idea came together, and I did it. And I think there were seven people involved, and it was nothing like the existing routine. Mm-hmm. But it was doing it at 4F that made me go, "Ooh, actually, this isn't a bad idea." So I started working on it, and it went through a number of different variations, and now it's a tight routine with five people. It plays for about 15 minutes, and it closes most of our cabaret shows.
Oh, is that right?
And it started off as a joke.
And you do that at your soiree?
Not at the moment. It's not in the current show, but we did it in the soiree for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And last night, what was really fun about it, because I was asked to MC, I could neatly break this trick up into six different sections. It's the way the trick works.
Okay,
so I did one section between each of the two acts, And then at the very end, before the last act, that was Oscar Munoz, who was absolutely fabulous, because he's the guy's a legend. But literally, I said, right, we're going to do it now. So these five guys rush onto the stage, and they did the trick, and I took all the applause and introduced Oscar. But it seems to have been a big hit. Everyone's been talking
about. Again, I like the concept. I wish I could have seen it.
I'll show you a video.
Oh, good. I would like to see the video. I have told people they should go to see your video that I took of you at the 4F convention following COVID, when which you were doing Stairway to Heaven on the ukulele.
Oh, okay.
That was amazing.
It wasn't Stairway to Heaven. It was Bohemian Rhapsody. But
close. It was Bohemian. Okay, was, sorry. Yes, but yeah, that was Bohemian.
That was my COVID project, learning Bohemian Rhapsody.
Was it like 9 minutes long or something?
6.5 minutes. Okay. Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy long piece. But
And it was so good.
I do weird stuff. I can't help it. It's who I am.
I don't know whether you gravitate towards that or it does towards you.
Yeah, I think I'm a weird magnet.
I was going to say. Yeah. You have this gravitational force that brings in all the weirdness about that. And so how many conventions, or I should say 4F conventions, have you been to now?
This is my 11th.
Okay.
The first one I came to was in about 1998 or something. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit of a freak. Simon Lovell was a good friend of mine. Mm. And I was visiting him because I was coming over 2 weeks later for a family trip with my wife and some other friends. And he said, come over, I'm going to a convention, I'll take you. I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what 4F was. And he said, oh, bring 4 or 5 minutes to do, because they might ask you to do something.
Right.
I knew nothing.
Yeah.
I turn up, and in the front row is, it's like the top shelf of your bookshelf. Your favorite magic books are sitting in the front row, and they're saying, do 5 minutes.
Right. Because you're the beginning. I mean, everybody who's a newcomer has to perform.
Every newbie has to perform. Anyway, me being me, I worked out this silly concept where I was going to do the card on ceiling. But when I threw the deck at the ceiling, the card was going to be stuck to the ceiling, but it was going to be the wrong way around.
Okay.
And I thought that would get a big laugh, because I'm not like anywhere near as good as these guys. So I have to do something funny. So that was the plan. Brilliant idea. I was foiled, because in the previous show to me, someone did exactly the same gag.
The same gag?
The same gag. The same. And I was thinking,
oh my gosh.
I traveled all the way from the UK. I was living in the UK back then. I traveled all the way over to, and this was going to be my big gag, which was going to get a big laugh, and that was going to get me into the 4F boys, and someone did it before. And it was, you know, the world fell out of my bottom.
So
it was,
what did you do?
Well, as it happened, Pat Page was one of the guys who was sitting in the front row next to Ali Bongo at the time, I seem to remember. And I was feeling very despondent. And I talked to Pat Page about it, and he said, well, why don't you do this and this instead? And it was like, Pat Page, you are a genius. I can't even remember what this and this was, but I know he sorted out the problem.
Yeah.
And it happened. But 4F is a unique convention, partly because everyone here is a genuine performer. Mm-hmm. So we all understand it. But, you know, we still need to be reminded to be a good audience. Because even, you know, you get old, you get jaded, you've seen it all. And that's one of the things. I shared a story with the audience as I opened the show about Bill Goodman. Do you remember Bill Goodman?
I do remember Bill Goodman.
Lovely man. He said something when I saw him lecture, and I think we really
need... You're talking about the librarian for the castle, Bill Goodman.
Did I get his name
you
wrong?
You did say Bill Goodman.
Yeah, the Little Bunny's card trick.
Oh, that's Goldman.
Goldman, yes. Sorry.
Little Bunny said Cartwright. Oh,
Bill Goldman, yes. I meant Bill Goldman.
Yeah, Bill Goodwin's doing fine.
Yeah. Sorry to anyone who's a good friend of Bill Goodwin who just had a heart attack. I'm talking about Bill Goldman.
Yeah.
And he said this thing at the beginning of the lecture, which I think we should really take to heart. He said, if you want to learn how to be a good magician, you have to learn how to be a good audience member.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important lesson, because as magicians, we are watching other people doing magic, and we stop behaving, we carry on behaving like magicians when we should learn how to be a good audience. Because let's face it, as a magician, if I'm performing to other magicians, I want them to be a good audience.
Sure you do.
So I'm really sort of preaching this, if you like.
It's in your lecture now?
It is in my lecture. It's been in my lecture for a while. But I also opened the show by telling everyone here that story, because Bill was a 4F-er, though he wasn't a regular.
Right.
I think the audience, it really felt as they took it to heart, and they kept their energy going through the whole show. But I just think we all need to be reminded of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be good audience for other magicians when they're performing.
Good advice right there. You know, I think that sums it up. And I think there have been a lot of things that people have said already today. I mean, this is just day one of this recording over here. And I've got more people to come in, that if people can give more advice like that, I mean, Keith, that's just, you're right.
people should take that to heart. That's great.
Absolutely. Appreciate absolutely. That. I'm going to preach it, brother.
There we go. One real quick thing and last thing, completely off subject, about the Soiree, which was your place where you're performing then,
yes,
up in the Detroit area.
Troy, just outside of Detroit, yeah.
I've got a friend, Scott Pepper, who owns a theater.
I know Scott well.
And San Antonio.
Yeah.
And he just had told me that he's selling the theater. And so if anyone is interested, give me a, drop me an email. I'll send you some information on that. He's moving to Colorado.
Okay.
And the theater is right across from the Alamo there in San Antonio.
Right. I've played that theater and I did go and see the Alamo while I was there.
It's right there. I mean, it's a great tourist spot.
It's a really good spot.
And so if anybody's interested, let me know and I'll put you in touch with Scott because he just had sent me something just a few days ago and said, hey, if you would start, and I'm going to mention this a few more times so people don't, who are not listening to this, will hear it then later.
And I should just say, whoever does actually buy it, and it is a going business, I know he's had a lot of fun there and he's put a lot of work in. And if you want to do that sort of thing, it's a, you know, go for it. But the most important thing you have to remember is don't forget to book me.
That's right. Yes, right.
And Scott Wells, of course.
Right. And, Kenrick Ice McDonald.
And Ice McDonald, because he's lurking in the background.
Yeah, he's like, better book Ice also while you're working at. But anyhow, because you have been working the Soiree for how many? I mean, that was your place.
Yeah, well, we started off before COVID, BC. Remember those happy days?
BC.
And now we're in AD after the disease. We're back and rocking it. It's getting busier. We moved to every Saturday a while back. We're now doing every Saturday and some Fridays. My dream is that by the end of this year, we'll be doing every Friday, Saturday. So it's just growing and growing and growing.
That's great.
Yeah.
And if people want to get tickets and they happen to be up in the area, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, themagicsoiree.com.
And how would you spell Soiree?
S-O-I-R-E-E, the correct way.
The correct way.
Unlike parlor, you know, it's got a U in it, but let's not go into that.
Hey now.
We gave you a language. That's all I'm saying.
We kind of messed it up. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Keith Fields. We're taking a little bit of break then right now for our dinner break, and we're over at, where are we? This is a steak.
This is Smoky Bones.
Smoky Bones.
Smoky Bones.
And having, and that's what we're going to be having is are some ribs. And I've got with me Danny Archer. Hey, Danny.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
From the Smoke and Mirrors Theater, and or should
Smoky
I?
Smoky Bones, Smoky Mirrors.
Yeah, that's right.
Funny how that worked out.
There's no mirrors here. And then Mark D'Souza.
Hey there.
Bernardo Sedlacek.
Hello.
From Brazil. And then Mike Breger from Washington, D.C., or where is it?
No, Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Cherry Hill. It's so close. That's right.
It's on the Amtrak.
Well, it's right. I mean, everything outside Texas is kind of like everywhere else, you know, except Texas. But so anyhow, this afternoon, Danny, you were on as Gino Minari. Always just what did I say, Minari? By golly, mozzarella.
We'll edit that out.
What does Minari have to say about that?
Mozzarella, like the cheese, only tougher.
Only tougher. And I remember years ago when you were at the house and we were doing a talk about this, and you were talking about how that you ought to have a character because that you got a call one time. It was like you and Juan Tamariz and a couple others, and you said why? And go tell that story.
Oh, that's a long story. I'll condense it, though. That's the greatest gig story is I got a call to do a gig in Spain. And I wasn't working internationally at the time, so I was really surprised. So I talked to the guy. They were doing a gig for the 100 top students in this Spanish university, and the event was going to happen in the Canary Islands. So the guy hires me. I triple the highest price I have ever asked for. He agrees to the price. I said, my wife is instrumental in helping. You bring your wife, no problem. So, we're going to the Canary Islands. Months go by, nothing happens. Now there's literally 35 days to the thing. I have heard nothing from the guy. My wife says, I got to get babysit. So I get a call from the guy. Here's your travel thing. Oh, he did text me one time, an email. He says, we're thinking of hiring another magician. Do you know Juan Tamariz, Rene Levant?
No.
I say, I know them both. I would be honored. Then he calls me back. He says, we booked Rene Levant. It's going to be you and him. I said, I have one proviso. He said, what? I have to go first in the show. So we get over there finally, and there was like no stuff. I said, no information where we're staying, anything. I think maybe we're staying in a dorm room in the college. Sure. We get there. There's someone there to pick us up. And Juan Tamariz's daughter was there doing an illusion. She used to have some kind of illusion she did. So they take us to a 5-star hotel on the beach. In the toilet, there was a flower, fresh flower floating. That flower would be changed several times throughout the day. There would be a new
a day
throughout the day. A new talent. Like, I never, what a guy says.
But then we'd use the toilet. Yeah. Who wants to poop on a flower?
What a job that would
yeah.
be.
The guy that hired me, his name was Juan.
I like to change the flowers.
What a leech show business.
The guy that hired me was named Juan, and he said, you know, eat anything you want at the venue. The first night there was a banquet with a Japanese theme. All the food was Japanese. There was Japanese dancers, Japanese music. The next night there was maybe a Brazilian thing, Brazilian food, Brazilian, just all kinds of different stuff going on. And I, the whole time, all I have to do is do a Q&A, me and Rene Levon. I performed something, he didn't. And then we were doing the show. I was doing 30 minutes. And I said to the guy when he's hiring me, I said, I'm a talking act. If they don't understand, no. English is the second language in university. Everyone understood it. I show up for the tech rehearsal. No one understood English. I said, this is going to go great.
Yeah.
So I meet Larry. I have a great picture of me and Rene Levon backstage.
With his arm around you? No, wait.
Yeah, with his arm around me. It's not that kind of picture. We do the show. My set goes okay because I realized there were several Americans there. And they had like 5 Nobel Prize winners. And then the Nobel Prize winner said, can me and my wife accompany them on a special out? It was just unbelievable trip. So the show goes okay. Renee finishes and I go and I take the breadcrumbs and I put them in a bag and I have them sign them for me. I've since lost them, unfortunately. The whole time this is occurring, and there was a present every night when we get back to our room. First, it was like a picture book. My wife says, oh, they're going to put that in. I think it's a gift. And next night, the last night was an iPod when an iPod was still, oh my God, an iPod. The whole time I'm doing this whole thing, one question is running through my mind. Why me? Out of all the magicians in the world, the universe, I could see he's hiring Rene Levon. He's a world timer. Why me? Finally, the last day, we're having breakfast, and I go up to Juan, and I want to say thank you for having me out. And I said, can I ask you a question, Juan? He said, yeah. How'd you get a hold of me? He says, oh, good question. He said, he was a professor at something. I forget what his specialty was, but he was based in San Diego studying. And he was bored and he was walking around town. He saw a magic shop and he went in, he bought a couple of tricks and he played around with them and give them something to do. And he thought they always try to do something. They had cooking and magic was the fun activities for these 100 top students in Spain. He said, so I thought since I learned magic in America, I wanted an American magician. And I'm looking on the internet and I saw your picture. This is me dressed as Gino. And he said, that's an American magician. Wow. And that's how the gig happened. I mean,
that's amazing.
They paid our way because we had to fly to Madrid and then Madrid to the Canary Islands. They paid our way on the way back to stay another night in Madrid. And it was just absolutely unbelievable.
That's a dream gig.
Yeah. That's
did the canary die?
Yeah, I probably.
And you stay out of mind.
So, Mark, top that.
Well, I got to perform for John Lennon once.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there was.
Where was he?
In Philadelphia, doing a charity thing. It was for a radio station, and one of my close friends was the music director at the radio station, and they were doing like this radiothon thing, and he asked me if I'd help out. And so we did that. He says, okay, well, tonight we're having a party, and Lennon's going to be there. I said, all right. So, yeah, so I got to perform magic for him, which he was fairly blasé about. But at really? Least, yeah, you know, when somebody like that who has done everything, you get a little, you know, a little blasé about pretty much everything in life. Something. Didn't seem like a real happy guy. This would have been 75, 76.
He was still secluded. He hadn't come
back out. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Is that the old WFIL?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember.
Yeah, FIL. They had this big concert at the Spectrum, which was the old stadium, the old Flyers stadium, where they had the rock concerts with horrible sound.
Well, yesterday at the 4F, you gave a lecture, and I missed that. But
it was today, actually.
Was it today? Okay, I missed that. Okay, by the time I got here, it was 11:30. So I thought I was going to be here in time, but I forgot the time change. Anyhow, so tell me about, can you give it in a nutshell for people who
were not, or just listened to the podcast.
Sure, but I don't think they would be able to see it because it was something special before it. The whole idea of the lecture was the things that were happening in my head for over the past few years. And the theme was essentially how to create a special moment, because I don't feel the magicians create a special moment often enough.
You think you're just doing tricks for the trick's
sake? Yeah, like imagine even yourself as a magician. You go in front of another magician. He's about to show you something. It feels the same as every other time you're seeing a magician. The magic can be great. Don't understand me wrong, but you understand that that's not special at all. And instead, I was... Oh. Yeah, it's something else, right? It's that moment that the person may remember for a long time, and that
so you gotta
moment
make each
that yeah.
moment special. Each performance is different.
Not exactly. I'm talking about how to create a moment, and of course, creating a moment also requires not to do it all the time, but only do it in specific moments, right? Okay. So it's like, for example, my ex-girlfriend, she had a friend and he wanted to hire me. And then we went to a bar together before. And then I started to do magic for him. And eventually I was like, I'm going to destroy this guy. So then I started to do some things that I would probably not do in front of other people. And I tried to make a big deal of some of those things and create different sensations that we are not used to feeling magic. And then he was fried at the end, and he was like, I pay whatever you want. And I was like, that's the way I like it. but it's hard to describe because you have to live. But I told a few stories of that that maybe would get people inspired on some of those things. For example, of Jimmy Gripple, whenever he was he did one effect in the casino. The owner of the casino was there. He said, take any card, put it back, sign it, or whatever it is. Then on a very high ceiling, he threw the deck, and then the card stuck there. We all know this effect. But then he said, well, tomorrow, bring your friends, bring your family, bring everyone you know, your business partners, everyone. At 2 p.m., the card will fall for you. Then everyone came back, and at 2 p.m., the card, foof, it fell. I will not describe how it's done on the microphone, but but it's things but like this back, that yeah. people feel that that's special, right? And I will show it to you guys some things after, and you understand what I mean. It's hard to describe if you did not felt it before.
Okay, I understand.
But yeah, and so although the idea of this lecture was to talk about how to create a special moment, and also analyzing different stories and different things and see what they have in common, for me the actual theme of the lecture was inspiration.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
That's it.
Now I feel horrible about missing that. Even worse.
It was a really cool lecture. Cool. I mean,
you don't have to say this right now.
I don't. But it's so nice to hear lectures where, we know enough tricks. Let's talk about how we can take what we know already and really make it more effective or make it more special. And that's what Bernardo was talking about.
Literally 10 days ago, 11 days ago, Bernardo performed at the theater.
Was it 10 days ago? Like 5 days.
5 days ago. Very recently. Yeah. So I got to see his entire show just recently, and to see the way he plays the people to really maximize the impact when finally there's a difference. What was your card? Turn it over. Or seeing Bernardo when he finally gets to the end and the tension, people, and the release of emotion, that is the difference between magic and a miracle or that moment. But that's what he was trying to talk about.
But yeah, but the thing is, it's not even that. It's no, something yeah. even more, I would say. Because of course, like I aim to do this in every show, but the goal is like whenever, I would never do like in front of 20 or 50 people, because it wouldn't feel as special. For me, the special thing is when I go like in
like
a table, yeah, like one or one, or when I'm here with you and I go, look guys, I'm going to show you something special and I hope you enjoy.
But like
and,
last year, and you know, last year when Bernardo was here, he says, I want to bring some people up. He could have said, I want to bring some people up, but he didn't do that. He said, everybody stand up. Everybody who doesn't want to help me, sit down. Everybody else come up and surround me. And he had 100 people, literally 100 people there with him on stage. That created an incredibly special moment. That's, that's the kind of thing he's talking about.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
good way of putting it and making it crystallize. Yeah, I guess. Like, yeah, I understand.
It's, I would say that it's not even that, although that is like much closer, yeah. I would say. Yeah. I will show you guys as soon as we turn this off.
Yeah, right.
And then, and you understand. You understand. It's not easy to understand.
Well, speaking of creating moments and everything, I know that Michael Breger, that you, in your column on The Linking Ring, you create a lot of things that you script some ideas. There are some new ideas that you develop, but also the presentation, which you did today then as well, which is another thing I want to talk to you about, is being a first-timer. I mean, all of us have been 4F for a very long time, many years, and this was your first time. Was it a little bit daunting, or how was your feeling?
I'll tell you, it was, first of all, to be a member of this august organization, and looking at the age of some of the guys, Scott, is more like a November instead of August. and the other thing I want to say is, Bernardo, you're just so damn humble. Let me tell you a quick story. I'll get to your question in a second.
Okay, no, it's all right.
Scott, just ignore us for a second. So
talk amongst yourselves.
I think it was 2 years ago. I was talking to Mark, and Mark said to me, "I just saw this guy Bernardo, and he is like one of the greatest magicians I have seen. Do you remember this?"
Yeah, I remember you told me that because I booked his lecture tour, and you said,
"Wait a minute, guys! I didn't say I'm going to buy you dinner."
All right, okay.
Well, then never mind.
All right, I'll change the subject. I'll answer Scott's question. So it's, you know, I looked up your stuff and had a chance to meet you and talk to you and listen to you today, and you know, you get to the heart of the matter. This is, I think it's beyond the experience. I think it's finding new ways to have magic touch people and have people connect to the art. Because without people at the other end of the art, I mean, what is there, right? It's self-expression that nobody cares about. You know, you need an audience at some point. Mind readers need a mind to read, right? Magicians need somebody to perform to magic for, right? So, I think that you really connected and had some really good points around how to accomplish that today.
Thank you for waking up that early.
So yes, Scott, it's a first timer for me. Was it daunting? Guys like Danny and Mark, Bernardo, even though we really just met, and others, and you, Scott, you know, we've been talking about this for so long now. I mean, you've made it easy for me. Yeah, it's daunting. I mean, you're here in front of your peers, and you know, no matter what you do, it's not like it's going to be a fool us exhibition. There's going to be people who understand what you do, why, but what you need to, if you can entertain them, if you can touch them, if you can create that moment, if you can make them laugh and get them comfortable and do a good presentation. So, you know, these are the things that Danny and Mark and Bernardo and all the others and you were telling me to do.
But there's so many things that you do and that you have created, just like Danny and other people. I mean, how, as a first timer, how did you decide which particular one that you were going to perform?
Well,
did you decide consciously not to have a volunteer and that kind of a thing? I mean, how did you structure that?
I had an idea of what I wanted to do, and it was something that was I've done at the Castle, I've done at Danny's Theater, I've done other places. So I was very comfortable. I thought it was a nice mix between some comedy, which I love to do, as you know, and something that was different. I didn't want to be another close-up guy coming in for the first time doing card tricks or coin tricks. I wanted to try and do something a little bit different.
Right. Very artistic, which literally it was. I mean, by having the different paintings from the Louvre and whatnot. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. Musée d'Orsay.
But that's the right
D'Orsay,
mindset,
sorry.
Right?
Yeah.
What'd you say, Bernardo?
That's the right mindset. It's like, I wanted to do something different. And it's already, just because of this, it was already great.
Well, thank you. Now I have to pay for dinner.
Hey, Mark, I'm glad we got these guys.
That's right. What are you ordering, the Magnum champagne right now? So I talked to Mark. I talked to Danny. And talked to you and said, you know, I'm doing this thing that, you know, they you know, what do I send in for my audition video? Mm-hmm. And Mark said, you know, you got to go with the thing that you know best. You go with the art attack trick. You know, it's
like working the Castle. You know, people wonder about what you do because the magicians there have seen everything. Well, you do you.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. So that's what I did. You know, the magazine
You're working the castle coming up, or did you just finish? You just finished it, didn't you?
No, it was last year.
It was last year?
Last year, yeah. Well, I just retired, so now I have the opportunity to actually go back and do these things.
Okay.
You know, it was working stiff. My spare time was limited.
Yeah, you used to come to Houston, we'll have martinis, you know.
Well, that's because I was there working.
Yeah, I know, but now if you're not working, when are we going to see each other, man?
Well, it's you're the lucky one. So it's, you know, it's good to have friends. It's good to listen to your podcast because there's a lot of wisdom in the interstitials in your podcast. Everyone listening
to these three guys have been on there individually, and I'd recommend people go back and listen to. There is wisdom in there.
Yep. Well, you know, they're seasoned pros.
Yeah.
So, as are you. And, you know, everybody will approach it a little bit differently. But, you know, you pick what you need to use and need to do as far as your own work is concerned.
And so to wrap up, what would you say about as far as your total experience so far?
Oh, it's been awesome. First of all, you are in a room. All of a sudden, whether you think it or not, you end up being a peer to some of the greatest magicians.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys whose books you've bought and stuff and you've purchased, and you're sitting next to all these people who are heroes, Gertner and Gene Anderson you know, and you guys, and you're saying, how you doing? You know, how's your day going? You know, what's new? You know, small talk. Mm-hmm. You can talk shop, and that's fine. It's a great group to talk shop with, but it is really an incredible. It's an experience, Bernardo. It's a good experience.
The nice thing about it, I'll say also, like at the convention as well, you keep coming back and you see the friends, and it deepens the relationship. I think, you know, that we have.
Well, I think like the difference between 4F and any other convention is not only the level, but I would say that is the vibe is like everyone is family, which I think it's great. And if we see only once a year or twice a year, it's still family.
There is something special about this because I have said this before. Whenever I go to a different convention, I don't go to this Magic Live or an IBM convention or a TOM or whatever, and there's some other guys who are working there, and let's say that you're going to be lecturing there, that you're going to be saying, Danny, okay, we're going to do you know, your favorite method. Well, here's my favorite method. Here's how I do a double lift. You know, here you don't have to – you just say do a double lift or whatever. Right. You know, you don't have to go into any explanation. Number two is a lot of times whenever someone is going into some explanation, you're at some of these conventions, and I see another guy who's in the 4F, and you have a knowing look, just kind of look at each other and say, yeah, you know, he already told us about that. We know this, or, you know, that I understand. I mean, it's just, I think there is a level of expectation that we have when you come here of being on a particular peer level, as you put it, then, Michael, that I think everybody appreciates the skill that they have put in and the years they put in for their particular thing. Yours is different, Danny, than what Mark is, which is different than Bernardo's and Michael's and mine, and we all respect and appreciate each other's talents, you
but
know.
Because of that level, the sharing that goes on here is very different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people will go up to other people and say, hey, look, I really love what you did. Can we talk about it? I'm working on something similar. And people have just been so open and said, here, well, let me show you what I did. Let me show you what it is. Last year.
And they may not do that at a general convention.
Exactly. Because the people that are the people are here are a particular level. And not only just a particular level, but are of a particular interest. They are,
of course, they
dedicated to this.
That's
beyond
the
and above.
I was looking for, because I don't want people to think this is an elitist organization.
Not at all.
You're right. I think it's just something that there's a level of interest that we have that's deeper and more appreciative, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've been lucky enough to have top pros that I've talked to that have taught me material right out of their ass. And they're willing to share because they know I'm not going to abuse it. You know, I'm going to take that information. I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to look to make it mine. I'm not going to look to do it the way they're doing it.
Yeah.
I want that information to help me create something for me.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very different thing than a general. And like you said, you know, you make assumptions of a particular level of knowledge when you come here, so you don't have to go through.
Thank you, Mark, and thank all of you guys, by the way. So I tell you what, that I'm going to leave it at that for right now because I'm anxious to see what Bernardo is going to show us
here. Would you mind actually sharing your double lift after? Sorry.
So I'll let you guys go and just imagine what it is we're going to be doing then right now. So thanks again. Okay, Danny, Mark, Bernardo, Michael, Scotty out.